Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing to follow the suffering of Job without comfort, as we pick up in Job chapter 7, verse 8. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Here is Job. Time is dragging. It seems like it's been forever. It seems like there's no let up. There's no end. I don't see any hope. I don't see any light. This darkness has enveloped my life and there's no way out. He doesn't know the whole story. He is making false judgment because he is coming to conclusions without all of the evidence. Don't judge your situation until you have all of the facts and then make your conclusions. That's the problem, though. We're in the midst of a problem. We're in the midst of the trial, and we're prone to make judgments concerning God. And that's sad because we haven't yet seen the final outcome. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanishes away, the clouds just sort of disappear. So he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. In the desert areas, in these arid areas, it's interesting how that the clouds moving in will just actually dissipate in the dry air. And so Job is talking about this phenomena of an arid area, for he lived in the desert. And he talks about how life is just like these clouds. They just sort of disappear. So they that go down to the grave disappear. They will come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him anymore. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. You know, I'm soon going to be gone, and so I'm going to let my grief and all be known while I'm here. Am I a sea or a whale that you set a watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then you scare me with your dreams, and you terrify me with your visions. And so Job didn't appreciate this vision with the guy's hair standing on end when the Spirit was, giving him this mystical message. Terrify me with your dreams. So that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my... I'd rather just strangle. I'd rather strangle in my own spittle, really. I loathe life. I would not live forever. Let me alone, for my days are emptiness. And then out of the desperation, this man stripped of everything, the deep issue and question of life, what is man that God should magnify him? He's really turning now to God. He's finished his discourse to Eliphaz. You know, you scare me with your dreams. You terrify me through your visions. I would rather be dead than to have to listen to you anymore. I hate life, and I'm not going to live forever. Just let me alone, man. Let me die in peace, you know. And then turning to God, he says, what is man that you should magnify him? Why should you keep man alive, God? What is man that you should magnify him and that you should set your heart upon him? He, in the consciousness of the greatness of God, he became consciousness of the insignificance of himself. As the psalmist who said, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? He realized his own insignificance in the light of the magnitude of the eternal God. I'm nothing. I'm made out of the dust. I'm one of 5 billion people that inhabits this planet called the Earth, which is just really a little speck of dust in space. The Earth is so small when you talk about stellar bodies. The sun is 1,200,000 times larger than the Earth. Here we are 8,000 miles in diameter. It's some 865,000 miles in diameter. If you hollowed out the center of it, leaving a crust 100,000 miles thick, you could put the Earth in the center of the sun and let the moon rotate around it, and you'd still have 100,000 miles to spare. This little speck of dust. And here's me, just this tiny little speck of dust on this speck of dust that's revolving around the sun. And here is the God who is so great that the universe cannot contain him. The heavens of heavens cannot contain him. Who measured out the heavens with his span, and yet God is mindful of this little speck of dust down here, me. And God thinks about me. What is man? Here I am in the order of creation, above the animals, below the angels. But what am I that God should think about me? Job's question is, what is man that God should magnify him? That is, that God should take such interest in him and seek his welfare and his benefit. Who am I that I could ask God for some favor or some benefit? What is man that God should magnify him? Oh my, help us, Lord. I think of these people who are going around demanding that God do things. What is man that God should magnify him, or that God should set his heart upon him? Who am I that God should love me? And yet the revelation of the Bible is that God does love me. Oh, the wonder of it all, that the eternal God, the creator of the heaven and earth, loves me. Even though I am one among many, the pluribus unum, yet God loves me. I am special. I am unique. God made me special and unique. And God loves me. And God loves you. But what is man that God should love him, set his heart upon him, that he should visit him every morning? In the psalmist declared, what is man that God is mindful of him? Or the son of man that God should visit him? He is made a little lower than the angels, but he's crowned with glory and honor. What is man that God should magnify him, crown him with glory and honor? What is man that God should set his heart upon him? What is man that God should visit him, commune with him, that God should try him every moment? How long will you not depart from me, nor let me alone until I choke on my own spit? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O preserver of men? Why have you set me as a mark against thee, so I am a burden to myself? Why have you made me a target? He's complaining to God. Why am I your target, Lord? Why have you set me as a mark until I've become really a burden to myself? And why do you not pardon my transgression? Take away my iniquity. For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, and I shall not be. And so Job has come to that place of just hopelessness, despair. It seems like God has turned against him. God, it seems, has set his arrows against Job, made him a target. And Job is just saying, Lord, why don't you just let me die? Why not? Let's just get this over with. Why do I go on? Why do you preserve my life? These statements of Job provoke Bildad, the second fellow, to speak up.
Chapter 8, verse 1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite, and he said,
How long will you speak these things? How long shall the words of your mouth be like a strong wind? Now, Job had accused Eliphaz of being a windbag, not helping him any with his counsel, and so Bildad now turns that around on Job. How long will your speech be just like a bag of wind? Doth God pervert judgment, or doth the Almighty pervert justice? Is not God fair? Now, the truth is, God is fair. God is just. It is a question that Abraham asked God when God spoke of the fact that they were on their way down to destroy the city of Sodom because of its wickedness. And Abraham said to the Lord, "Shall not the Lord of the earth be just? Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Would that be fair? What if there are 50 righteous people in that city?" The Lord said, "If there are 50 righteous, I will spare this city." But the issue is, shall not the Lord of the earth be fair? It is something that Satan is constantly challenging in our own minds as we try to understand the circumstances of life. Many times, as things happen to us that we do not understand, Satan makes the subtle suggestion that God isn't really being fair with you. And he is constantly challenging the justice or the fairness of God. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, when God had said to Adam, "Of all of the trees that are in the garden, you may freely eat except the tree in the middle of the garden, and you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you do eat of it, you will surely die." And so Satan came to Eve and said, "Hath God said that you can eat of all the trees?" And she said, "Yes, all but the one in the midst of the garden." And God told us if we ate of that, we would die. And Satan said, "Oh, no, you wouldn't die." But God isn't really fair. He knows that if you should eat of that tree, you will be wise as God. You're going to be like gods. And so he's trying to withhold from you something that is good. This so often is the subtle insinuation of Satan as we look at the law of God, a law that God established for our good, and more we realize how good is the law of God. The things that God was seeking to protect us from. But yet Satan so often points at that very law that God established for your benefit and for your welfare, and he's saying, "Look, God isn't really fair. He's trying to keep you from a good time. God's trying to hold back from you something that is desirable, something that would really enrich and enhance your life." And the idea is that by God putting the restriction there, he's really holding you away from something that you really need or should have. And he's not really fair in doing that, because he's keeping you from a good time, when in reality, God is protecting you from destroying yourself. For so many who have taken that path found that it led to destruction. And once on that path, there was no turning back for them. Many have found the path of sin has such a hold once you get involved in it. It's like going downhill, you can't stop. So he makes the assertion, which of course is a correct assertion. God does not pervert judgment. He does not pervert justice. God is absolutely just, absolutely fair. And I rest in that. Because you see, a lot of times people ask me, "Well, what about those people that are living in Africa who have never heard about Jesus Christ? Would it be fair if God should condemn them forever to punishment in hell inasmuch as they have never heard of salvation through Jesus Christ. I really don't know what God is going to do with those people. But I do know whatever God does, it will be absolutely fair. Really, though, you ought to be concerned for yourself. You do know. You have heard. Therefore, there is laid upon you that responsibility of having had the light. And if you reject it, then you are condemned. What God will do in all of these cases, I don't know, but I do know that in the book of Revelation, as the judgment of God is coming forth upon the earth, there are voices from the throne of God that say, "Holy and true are thy judgments, O Lord." Does God pervert justice? No. Does he pervert judgment? No. Absolutely fair. In fact, far more fair than we ever dreamed of being. And a lot of times a person imagines himself more fair, more just, more pure than God. But that's a presumption that I wouldn't want to touch. Now he intimates that Job's children were judged by God because of sin. Remember, all 10 of them were killed when a strong wind out of the east collapsed the house in which they were feasting. And so saying, isn't God fair? You know, does God pervert judgment or justice? If your children have sinned against him, and he has cast them away for their transgression, intimating, Job, your kids weren't innocent. God's wiped them out because of their transgressions. And then he gives him a bit of advice. He said, if you would just seek God and pray to the Almighty, if you were just pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. If you would just seek God and pray to the Almighty, and if you would just be pure and upright, then God would awake. Now, the fact of God awaking for you, that's, you see, the problem with us trying to talk about God or talk about the characteristics of God, all we have to talk with is human language. And human language comes far short when you try to describe God or the characteristics of God, the nature of God. But all we have is human language. We don't have divine language. There's a vocabulary that, you know, we're not familiar with. And you would have to have a much vaster vocabulary than just human vocabulary if you want to talk about God. And so we're bound by human terms, and thus we speak of God with human terms. God would awake for you. Now, it isn't inferring that God is asleep, for the Bible says that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He that watcheth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. But several times, David, in writing the Psalms, would say, "Awake, O Lord!" And there are times when we are going through a problem that it, and we've been praying and seeking God and, you know, really searching for the answers, and it seems like God is maybe asleep, in that we don't seem to get any answers. We don't seem to get any response from God. And David, in going through those kind of experiences, would cry, "Awake, O Lord," you know. We sometimes think of God as not being aware, conscious of the difficulties that we're going through. So, if you were just pure and upright, then God would awake for you and make the habitation of your righteousness prosperous. But Job, there's something wrong. You see, the whole intimation is, hey, if you were all right, if you were pure, then you wouldn't be going through all this stuff.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the book of Job in our next lesson, as the friends of Job accuse him of hypocrisy. and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Job. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord bless you. May His hand be upon your life to guide and to strengthen. It may be that some of you can identify with Job. It could be that you at the present time are going through deep water that you don't understand. Sorrows, situations that beg for solutions and beg for answers. And it could be that as Job cries out of his distress, as he complains of his situation, you say, "Wow, Job, I know. I've been going through it." But I pray that even as Job, in the end, came into the place of blessing and strength and abundance, so that God will bring you into that place of blessing, strength, and abundance. We don't always understand, and I don't know that we are supposed to. We're just supposed to trust God. Follow the advice of Eliphaz. Just commit your ways to the Lord. Don't seek to understand it. Just commit your ways to the Lord. Lord, it's in your hands. Lord, my life is in your hands. And let God be in control. Rest in Him.
What happens when a psychedelic pop artist teams up with a simple preacher reaching out to a lost generation of young people? Well, The Word for Today is proud to present a full-color illustrated coffee table book simply called The Gospel of John. It's a collaborative effort between Pastor Chuck Smith and the late artist and illustrator Rick Griffin. This new 96-page combination of text and image highlights the amazing life of Jesus of Nazareth. This simple yet profound paraphrasing of the Gospel of John promises to be treasured by young and old alike. Be prepared to be blessed in both word and image when you order the Gospel of John. Call toll-free 800-272-9673 or log on to twft.com. And for our radio audience only, we'll include a Gospel of John witnessing tract free with your order. That's 800-272-9673 or twft.com.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.